Welcome to the eGovernance Academy podcast to discover the future of governance. Tune in for the Digital Government podcast every Wednesday.
Welcome back from your host, Federico Plantera, journalist, sociologist, and researcher. And today we have a happy return to the Digital Government podcast. And the return is that of Hannes Astok, who is a board member and executive director at eGovernance Academy. So welcome back, Hannes.
Hello.
Hannes, you're here for a reason, and that reason is that we need to announce something. I mean, we can come clean with it, let's say. And it's the fact that, indeed, the eGovernance Conference 2022 is coming soon. It will happen in a hybrid format in May between the 10th and the 12th of the month. And physically, it will happen in Tallinn, but it's also possible to follow it online at egovconference.ee. So this is the eighth edition, let's say, of the conference. And this year, I mean, it seems that we have to address the topic of essentially bouncing like from a crisis to another, because this year's title of the conference is, again, Resilient and Seamless Governance, but with a focus in any case on digital governments in times of war and crisis. So first, maybe 2 years ago, we were talking about digital governments in the time of crisis for the pandemic. And now instead, we're talking about digital governments in times of crisis for war, essentially, right?
Yes, this year we call the conference Resilient and Seamless Governance. And I think the question of resilience has becoming really important during this year and very relevant to the topic of a conference, as we have witnessed like a large-scale natural disasters, like it happens next to Tonga, where a volcano eruption what covers this beautiful island with ash, or of war, what is right now going on in Ukraine, or any other military conflicts around the world. So it also brings a lot of challenges for the public service delivery and to the digital government. And in another hand, of the topic seamless government is very much related to resilience, in this sense that even in peaceful times, people want to have the services what are seamless, so you don't need to go to apply either offline or online for one or another service, but rather get it seamlessly when government is notifying you that, Hannes, now it's time to renew your driving license and just push the button here if you want to do it right now. But also, during the crisis times, when people are moving away from hot areas, staying abroad with very limited connectivity, with very limited time and attention to get the services. So I think also in those times, it's more seamless, more smooth, more just one or two clicks, services are accessible. It's becoming more and more important also in those times. So we're addressing those issues. We have marvelous set of speakers from the hotspots, but also who are analyzing those topics in more broadly. And we really hope to bring these two stories, success stories, maybe some failures also, to our public and get their feedback.
Yeah, and you mentioned the speakers, and indeed, among this year's speakers, for example, just we can maybe mention the president of Estonia, Alar Karis, but at the same time also the government CIO of Estonia, the new one, Lukas Kristian Ilves, as well as international speakers, for example, Paul Timmers and Nikolai Mballe from the Faroe Island. So, but this is just to mention some names, but rather something that I wanted to ask you about the times of crisis and governmental behavior, let's say, or innovators' behavior in times of crisis. One question would be, is it still possible in those moments of deep need, let's say, to still innovate, to still like keep the development machine moving, let's say, rather than instead switching into some sort of like, okay, let's just patch up, let's say, the problems that we have here and there type of situation?
It's a good question, but I think the crisis is always a good environment for innovation. And let me bring in the parallel from the medicine. as we know that especially surgery has been developed very much during the war times. And because, and the parallel is that if you have a critical time and your time slot is very short, you need to do shortcuts, you need to experiment, you need to at least try with new methods, new processes, new decisions. In normal conditions, you need to have long process of discussions, of improvements, and so on, and you do not have right to fail. During the wartime, you have two options. Either something is happening if you do something totally differently, like in surgery sometime, or you fail. So there is a room to take risks, because if you don't take this risk, you fail anyway. So in this sense, I think also we can learn during our conference from 10th to 12th of May, also to from those crisis areas, how governments actually acted rapidly, how they innovated and invented new ways for the services, how they did shortcuts, how they eliminate useless, obsolete, time-consuming processes to deliver services in digital format quickly for the citizens. So in this sense, I think this is a very valid question, and we hope to get great answers what actually happens during crises in those countries during our conference.
Hannes, a small sneak peek, let's say, an introduction to those answers, if we can mention any of that. Because in any case, Tonga, you mentioned Tonga, you mentioned also Ukraine. What do you see happening there, for example, in that moment? Are there any like fundamental components or elements in the response that these countries are having or have had, let's say, to the crisis that they had to face that somehow could be singled out in this moment, and maybe like also entice a little bit the listeners in getting indeed like a small introduction into what is going to be about the conference itself?
Yeah, definitely. We already know something what has happening there, and I think also those governments currently maybe not that much analyzing yet what they did, but are rather acting to provide quickly services for the citizens. But the situation, let's take both Tonga and Ukraine, is similar, but various conditions have changed rapidly. So people having very limited connectivity, they mostly can only use their mobile phones or smartphones. So this means that every piece of information you are pushing or asking should be formulated very clearly. The messages must be short. The questions you ask answers must be very short and very precise. So it should be easy to answer for the people also. Yes, no, basically, not to select from 20 options. So in the limited connectivity also, there is no room for nice pictures and, you know, nice design, but rather big buttons, yes, no answers. And definitely the services themselves must be redesigned and must be relevant, because what is happening during the crisis is totally different of a situation what is happening during peaceful times. So not that much room to ask endless background questions. What is your size of your family, and what is your level of education, what sometimes governments want to ask because of what's in parallel going on sociological research. So rather straight to the point, key questions only, just short answers, and service should be delivered. I think it's also actually relevant, what we probably we will discuss also during the conference, but what is the response to serve refugees? Also, currently we know that almost 3 million people have already left Ukraine, and around 7 million people are internally displaced. So the same appears also for those governments who should provide services now to the refugees. So we hope probably to hear, especially from Poland, but from other countries also, but what was the response that people who are not speaking languages, what are used in those countries, how to at all assess their needs, what kind of assistance they need. Okay, they need some place for living, they need some food, but what on the top of it? So also, and how to all electronically organize it, how to provide also response online. This is also a big question for the countries who are now hosting those refugees and willing to support those people. So what is their innovation also is an important question.
On this topic, I think it's worth remembering that indeed the situation that we're living at the moment in Europe with, for example, the increasing and worsening refugee crisis and the displacement of Ukrainians around Europe, it's not in any case like something that is entirely new, considering that up until like 7-8 years ago, the pressure, let's say, of a looming refugee crisis was indeed like on the Mediterranean countries in Europe. No, so for example, also there with the million, and also on Germany, for example, which at some point just decided to take in 1 million Syrian refugees. We remember that announcement. So this means, in any case, that the challenge has been faced already, but we are probably at a different stage of. At a different season, maybe, of service delivery, where indeed we are also starting to talk about more about the seamless government, as we mentioned, and that is one of the main topics of the conference. Seamless government, which means also that the government should less and less ask citizens and users for information, in any case, that they already might have, or in any case, that should reach out to the users and the citizens in order to. Because the government knows that, essentially. So to reach out to them and offer a service that indeed they might use, depending on the life stage where they are, depending on living conditions. So even in this sense, now focusing on this aspect of the seamless governance and moving away from maybe like a little bit from the crisis situations, we're addressing at this year's conference also the issue in the demand side, let's say, of the equation. So like the side of citizens and residents. How should a seamless government in that sense look like, let's say, from the point of view of the citizen?
Yeah, I think seamless government should be, as the name says, as seamless as possible. So basically, this understanding means that government must disturb me or contact me only in the case they do not have sufficiently data to provide me a service, or they need my acceptance to start to deliver me the service. So basically, always there is an option to opt out also from one or another service. So and also reuse of existing data, I think, is the key word. As you mentioned already, in most of the cases, government has sufficiently background data about me, about my family, about my income. What is necessary to provide me a service. So in this sense, we really appreciate to see the government in most of the countries who is not bombing me with a question that do I need this service? And if I say that, yes, I need this service, not asking the questions about the facts about me, about my family or my whatever around me, what they actually already having. So this is, I think, the dream. But at the same time, we need definitely to consider that it cannot be the government who is like surveillance government, but who is using all CCTV cameras on the streets, what are following me and knowing everything about me. The privacy, definitely in seamless government, privacy and data, personal data protection is becoming even more important topic because I should understand that the service offer what government is providing me seamlessly almost is not based on surveillance rather than just anonymous data or patterns analyze or just my life cycle and life events analyze what kind of support or services I may need.
Yes, Hannes, and a lot of these topics actually we have addressed throughout the past year and introduced and hinted at them, let's say, by speaking to also some of the people who will join the governance conference of this year, such as, for example, Ott Welsberg or Katrin Neumann-Metcalf. So with all these people who are coming to, all these like notable speakers who are coming to address these questions of the resilience and the seamlessness, let's say, of government. Hannes, I would like a last, let's say, a few last considerations, a last call to join, let's say, for our audience. In order, first of all, to go to the website of the conference where you can find more information about it. And the website is 2022.egovconference.ee. And second, of course, given that people can join physically, but also online, so there is really like no excuse at that point, what could we tell our audience to invite them, let's say, to the upcoming conference in May?
Yes, definitely. It's option to follow the conference online all 3 days. As mentioned already, you need just to go online and find out the conference site and register. And also, it's a really good opportunity, again, to join the conference in Tallinn physically, as the COVID-related pandemic is slowing down very well in Estonia, and we're absolutely sure that you can visit physically Tallinn already in the middle of May. And this is a really beautiful time in Estonia, as the white nights are almost here, so really beautiful timing. And also, we should underline that Estonia is a really secure place. It looks to be in the world map that it's physically very close to the crisis area, but actually, from Kiev to Berlin is the same distance as from Kiev to Tallinn. So no doubt, it's a secure place. So worth to come, worth to listen presentation and participate in the discussions, and both resilience and seamlessness will be very much addressed. And on the top of it, also definitely cybersecurity, what is part of resilience of a government in any time, but especially during the crisis time, and especially when it's a kind of conflict in air. So you can be sure that your enemy is not attacking you only with physical kinetic weapons, but also very much with the cyber weapons, and also very much also like-minded countries are under their attack. But we will address those issues also very much. So cybersecurity issues are definitely one of the key issues on the topic of already mentioned resilience and seamless government.
The 8th e-governance conference this year is bringing to you the topics of resilient and seamless governance. We're focusing on the digital government's resilience during war and crisis, so not just the Ukraine case, but also others of natural disasters that have happened very recently. And we explore the future trends of digital transformation. We had Hannes today to anticipate some of the topics and also like introduce indeed the conference, which will happen in hybrid format in May between the 10th and the 12th. Of the month, physically in Tallinn, online at egovconference.ee. So all our listeners are warmly invited to join us there. And Hannes, instead, I thank you for joining us today.
Thank you very much. And we really hope all of you who are listening us to join also the conference, both virtually and physically, and really very glad to host you both in Tallinn, but also virtually. And thank you, Federico, for inviting all of us.
Thanks also to all our listeners for tuning in, and see you at the next episode.
This podcast is brought to you by eGovernance Academy. Tune in on next Wednesday.